Hi, folks, and thanks for listening to this Echo Chamber podcast. Quick thing before we kick off. This is the podcast that made more headlines and is continuing to piss off the higher-uppers in RTE, the Department of Social Protection, and a former minister for Department of Social Protection. And, you know, it'd be very interesting to see what happens now that we've lifted the paywall. But nonetheless, make sure you listen to this. This is the definitive breakdown of the corruption that's gone on and how people have been, how employees of RTE were misclassified as bogus self-employed and treated pretty much like shit. I also want to direct you towards patreon.com/tortoiseshell, where you will find the details of another rogue employer. That employer this time is On Post and their treatment of the postmasters, which is an absolute scandal. That is at the top of our feed right now at patreon.com/tortoiseshell. The link is at the top of this podcast and you are not going to want to miss it. So please join us. Help us keep the show on the road. Help us keep doing this work. Help us keep fighting for the workers, because that is what drives Martin. And he is absolutely determined to bring down this whole house of cards. But we need your support to keep on broadcasting. So one more time, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and folks, we have been covering a bogus self-employment since the inception of this podcast. In many ways, it's actually been the creation behind the podcast, because one half of the creator of the Tortoise Shack is absolutely obsessed with resolving bogus self-employment. And the reason I'm laying that out right now is because I want to be very clear. We are not anti-worker. We are not anti-union. We're not anti-people getting what they're due. We're fighting for that. And we seem to get, you know, miscast as these kind of people who are causing trouble, making things difficult for people who are trying to make the best of a bad situation. No, we're not doing that at all. We haven't done that since day one. We've actually cared more about journalists, in particular, when you listen to this case, than many of the journalists who are supposed to report on what's happening in this situation. And I find that kind of, not even for me, I find it on behalf of Martin offensive, because he's standing up for their rights and many of them have left him in the wind. And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks, particularly in relation to the conversation we had with Keith Walsh, the former 2FM broadcaster, and his situation, and how yet again, all the work that went on. And I remind listeners, going back to September in the Sugar Club live on stage, we broke that story, but apparently someone else broke it a couple of days ago. And, you know, no mention of Martin and all the work that he'd done. Not only did they do that, they then brought it onto RTE's Drive Time, one of their premier radio shows, and broke it there. And there was no mention of Martin there either. And he's not going to get all upset about it, because he actually only really cares about the workers behind it. But me, as his editor, effectively, I'm fucking pissed off. So
that's true. He's more pissed off. Like, I'm genuinely not pissed off. I'm in this for the workers. There's nothing in it for me.
And I accept that 100%, Martin. But I just think it's absolutely disgraceful, the amount of people who will do you wrong and carry on as if everything should just be okay and a nod and a wink. And as I said, you've done more for their workplace.
It bothers me on a credibility level, Tony, because all of this is credible. It's all been in committees. It's been through courtrooms. So, you know, don't besmirch my name by saying that the stuff I say is not credible. All of this is evidenced. Every single bit of it is evidenced. And if you are a journalist reporting on these stories, and I've given out a lot of stories in relation to this, you know, it's a lot of work has gone into it for a lot of people, and a lot of people are dependent on this. So, you know, shove your moral judgments up your hole. There you go. Say it out clear. Yeah, shove your moral judgments up your hole. I'm here for the workers, and fuck you.
Fair play to you, because you are here for the workers. I'm also here to stand up for the Tortoise Shack and the work that we've done for a number of years. I will say, we want to bring this story forward, and we want to bring it forward to how do I put this? And this is
back without, to the future, Tony. Or future to the back?
Yeah, future to the back. July 2017, the Pilo Hotel, which has had a few other names. What were the other names, Martin? Do you recall in Ashburn?
Oh God, I don't even remember now at this stage. Nama is all I need.
Yeah, it was one of those. And I think it was one of the Brogan families, Alan Brogan Senior. purchased it and all sorts of messes during the Celtic Tiger anyway. But nonetheless, you found yourself in July 2017 face-to-face with then incoming Social Welfare Minister Regina Doherty, and you had been talking about bogus self-employment for a long time at this stage, and you felt, by even in conversations you had with myself, that maybe something was going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Regina Doherty was, it was announced that Regina was going to be the new Minister for Social Welfare. And I got on Twitter and I said, well, any chance of talking about bogus self? It was all very public. You remember this, it was all very public on Twitter. Any chance of having a conversation about this? I know a lot about it. And Regina replied and said, yeah, we'll have a conversation. So in DMs, we arranged to meet in the Pilo Hotel in Ashburn, and we met in the Pilo Hotel in Ashburn. Regina brought along her campaign manager, Alan, I think is his name. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's Alan. I've met him before. I met him with the Repeal the Eighth and other stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained to Regina what was going on. And what was going on was the Department of Social Welfare has been using test cases and precedents from test cases forever to label groups and classes of workers as self-employed. And you might think, oh, well, that sounds reasonable, but it's not. It's illegal. And the reason it's illegal is that, you know, just because one person looks like another person, it doesn't actually make them self-employed. But the department was saying, oh, that group of people look self-employed, therefore we'll call them all self-employed. And it's very important because it's about individual decision making. None of this can be made by group or class. So I met with Regina. We met in the Pilo Hotel, literally only a couple of weeks beforehand. Leo Varadkar had been asked, and he had been the previous minister.
Mm-hmm.
He had been asked in the social well in the Oireachtas about the use of test cases. It was a parlimentary question on the 7th of December, 2016. And it was Deputy Eugene Murphy who asked the question. And Minister Varadkar said, a number of test cases in relation to the Electricity Supply Board contract meter records were invested by the scope section in recent years. Now, he says, we use test cases. Mm-hmm. And there was the Ombudsman in 2002, and Dermot Hearn was the minister at the time, and he told the Ombudsman we use test cases, and I got that in a report. And in 2000, the Secretary General of the department had told the PAC we use test cases, this is fine, we've done nothing wrong with it, but it was all illegal at the time. So when I met Regina, what I said to her is, look, this use of test cases that you guys are going on with, it's all illegal, all of it. And that sooner or later, this is going to come back and bite you through bogus self-employment and the misclassification of so many people. And in honesty, Regina sounded very clued in, was, you know, asked intelligent questions. When people say, what was she like? I say she asked intelligent questions. And she did ask intelligent questions. And I left her with a task to do. You know me, I never leave a meeting without somebody having something to do.
Yeah, well, that's why I have to do all the work around here, but go on.
That's true. So the task was that in 2000, a social welfare inspector had put a false report into evidence. And I wanted to know, had the Department of Social Welfare informed the Chief State Solicitor's Office about this false report? Because it was the Chief State Solicitor's Office who was representing the department in these proceedings. And Regina was to find out the answer to that question for me. And I got a text a couple of weeks later saying, yes, I'm speaking to so-and-so and I'll have an answer for you. And that was the end of it. That was the last time Regina contacted
me. That's not true. That's not true. She engaged. Well, she engaged
on,
with you.
On,
she engaged
on that.
She engaged with you later on social media to pretend that the meeting never happened.
She actually denied it to you. She said she'd never spoken to
Yeah,
me, I think is what she said.
And yet I had the evidence that she had from my own.
I mean, it's there on my DMs. It's there
everywhere.
On Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
If anybody wants to look it up, they can look it up themselves.
I'm sorry. So I'm sorry, Tony. You seem to be misled. I never met Martin.
Well, it's important. She did meet me, and I gave her the evidence. And look, I'm going to say this straight up. I gave her the evidence that they had committed criminal, that the individuals within the department had committed criminal acts to use bogus self-employment, that they knew it was wrong and they actually lied about it and put false evidence before a tribunal, which is, you know, really crazy stuff. And I said to her, you know, will you check? Because did they tell the Chief State Solicitor's office that there was a false document? Because the decision would be set aside had that come out in the public. You know, it would be set
aside. And that's all. And look, spoiler alert, folks, you're going to get a lot more of the information and the ins and outs of this in the next 25, 30 minutes of this podcast. And it's important that you stay tuned because it's broken down in ways that you can absorb it piecemeal and understand how this worked. But I suppose what's important is we've been talking about, we've had a podcast with Keith. We've seen how that made headlines, and Keith Walsh found himself, you know, back in the spotlight. But it all comes back, Martin, to when we want to talk about RTE, and I want to speak specifically right now today about RTE, and yeah, it's not a beef I have with RTE, and I say that it's not a beef we have with RTE. We're here to try and help the workers in RTE because they are, myself and Martin have this conversation often. I remember saying, you know, that the media ecosystem is one of these frameworks. People say the ecosystem, you know, we have this, the biggest bully on the playground. And I remember saying to you, Martin, a couple of years ago, RTE aren't the biggest bully on the playground. RTE are the playground. Everybody.
They are the playground. RTE is the playground. It's very important to realise that, you know, a lot of other publications, and I'll name a few, Irish Times, Indo, they're dependent on being able to go on RTE at the weekends and sell their wares. They're very, very dependent on it. So, you know, there's a lot of pushback when I'm saying what RTE's done is criminal. What RTE's done is fraud. There's a lot of pushback on it, but it's the truth. And I'm not going to shy away from this. It's the absolute truth. Anyway.
Let's go.
So that was 2017, July 2017. And nothing happened. Regina didn't do anything. She literally left me there. The last text was, thank you for trusting me with this. And then I never heard another word from Regina about the evidence. I guess to this day, I've never heard another word about it. But because she didn't come back to me, I wrote again to the Public Accounts Committee in 2018. And I've been doing this, you know, since 2000, every single Public Accounts Committee. And I said, they're using test cases. It's illegal. And the Public Accounts Committee wrote to both the Revenue Commissioners and the Department of Social Welfare in April 2018 and said, do you use test cases? Now, Revenue wrote back and said, we use a case of a social welfare appeals office case to label all couriers as self-employed. Now, that was their reply. So they said, yes. They said, we use a case to label all workers as self-employed. They refused to say it's a test case. But funnily enough, John McKeown, the current Secretary General of the Department of Social Welfare, had no problem saying, we use test cases. And these are his, Matt, in the Eversheds, that you're going to hear, this comes up. He says, regarding what might be called class decisions or test cases, these occur in limited circumstances where scope section has made a determination about a particular type of employment. Is it reasonable that the same decision would apply to people who are in identical circumstances? So that's saying if we see one person and we figure they're self-employed, well, then we'll label everybody who looks like that person self-employed. And that's it in black and white, admitted there and then in black and white. Now, as this was going on, there was also kind of an undercurrent in RTE. People were saying there's bogus self-employment going on in RTE, and a review had been ordered by RTE, an independent legal review by the Eversheds Sutherland Legal Group. And that's what it was, an independent review. And they were to do a snapshot of time of 2018 and say how many, you know, what way was their employment practice? How was bogus self-employment in there? And that came out literally 2 weeks after John McKeown admitted that they used test cases. And that's where we're going to next on this podcast, Tony, is the details of the Eversheds review.
I just want to give people a quick heads up. You will hear some very detailed but important forensic oversight of what actually happened in the Eversheds review, because, you know, it's important because Eversheds was held over the heads of employees as if it was one thing. And as you'll hear, it was absolutely not. So thank you, Martin. Thank you, Matt McGrahan, for the work that you've done in helping.
I did, and Matt did some voice work on this. And just before we go into it, Tony, just one thing I forgot to say. Why was there an Eversheds review? They had recognised a bogus self-employment issue in RTE, and the onus was on the Department of Social Welfare to send in the Joint Investigations Unit and Social Welfare Inspectors. Why an Eversheds review happened at all is a huge mystery, other than to say to you it was a deliberate attempt to cover up which has failed.
I'm gonna play us out with, yes, my salary is enormous, but that doesn't affect my soul.
The Eversheds review is RTE's privileged legal advice. The Eversheds review was used to make durability of employment decisions on individual workers in RTE who are not allowed to see how that decision-making process worked. On foot of the Eversheds review, 396 people were given their marching orders from RTE. On foot of the Eversheds review, a number of bogus self-employed employees working for RTE were reclassified by RTE as employees. The contracts the newly reclassified workers were offered are yellow pack contracts, in that the terms and conditions of these contracts are far less than the individual employees would have received had the employees been correctly classified by RTE in the first instance. The employees who were misclassified by RTE, in some cases up to 30 years of being misclassified by RTE, have not received any recompense for any of the statutory benefits and pensions they would have received had RTE acted lawfully in the first instance. The misclassification of employees as self-employed is a number of criminal offences on the statute books under social welfare legislation. The criminal offences on the statute books were explained in detail to the Oireachtas Social Welfare Committee in 2019 by the head of PRSI collection for the Department of Social Protection as follows.
An employer who knowingly and incorrectly classifies a worker as self-employed rather than employed in order to evade or reduce the employer's liability to pay social insurance contributions may be guilty of an offence under Section 252 of the Social Welfare Consolidation Act 2005. An employer who aids, abets, cancels, or procures an employee to misrepresent his or her employment status is also guilty of an offence under Section 251 of the Act. Any employer who fails to pay employment contributions and/or makes false or misleading statements may also be guilty of an offence under the Act, Section 254 of which requires employers to keep records of employees and people engaged under a contract for services. A person guilty of an offence is liable, on summary conviction, to a fine not exceeding €2,500 or imprisonment for a term not exceeding 6 months or both, or on conviction on indictment to a fine not exceeding €13,000 or the amount that is equivalent to twice the amount unpaid or deducted, whichever is the greater, or to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 3 years or both.
The Eversheds review is often referred to as a scoping exercise by RTE. This is to confuse the misclassified workers in RTE. The scope section of the Department of Social Protection is the body charged with determining employment status. The Eversheds review is not the scope section and did not, nor does not, have any legal standing on making insurability of employment decisions. None of the insurability of employment decisions made by or on foot of the Eversheds review have any legal standing. In a letter to the Public Accounts Committee in July 2018, RTE explained the RTE version of the Eversheds review to the Public Accounts Committee.
Further to your request of 3rd of July 2018, please find the summary report from Evershed Sutherland on the use of freelancers / contractors at RTE. Please note that we can share the summary report only on the basis that the full report contains information which is legally privileged. Last November, RTE made a commitment to examine freelance / contractor contractual engagements, and this report forms the first phase of that review. RTE has shared the outcome of this independent report with senior officials within the TUG. The report found that the majority of those reviewed are appropriately engaged as contractors. However, this initial desktop exercise has identified inconsistencies in certain roles where some individuals are hired as staff and others engaged as contractors. The report found that a number of contractors appear to have, quote, attributes akin to employment, end quote, and require individual review with regard to their employment status. The report contains a number of findings. From a total of 433 contractors reviewed, 106 have been assessed as having, quote, attributes akin to employment, end quote, and require individual review with regard to their employment status. 51 contractors have been assessed as having, quote, attributes akin to both employment and self-employment, end quote, and require review after the above group. 276 were assessed as individuals who would not normally be considered as employees and require no further individual review. The report contains a number of recommendations, which include RTE should introduce an overarching policy and process with regard to the engagement of freelancers. RTE should develop clear guidelines as to when and how to engage a contractor or employee. RTE should review the contractor population as prioritised and apply the new policy accordingly. In response to the report, RTE has committed to developing and implementing a new overarching policy and process with regard to the engagement of freelancers / contractors. As a priority, RTE will review the 106 contractors prioritised within the report and address employment status where appropriate. I trust that the information supplied meets the needs of the committee, but if you have any further queries, please feel free to get in touch.
It was confirmed by RTE that the Eversheds review is RTE's privileged legal advice. It was confirmed by RTE that the outcome of the Eversheds review was shared with the TUG, that's the trade union group in RTE. Crucially, the Eversheds review confirms that certain roles within RTE were bogus self-employed by group and or class, and that a further group would require individual review on their employment status. It was confirmed by RTE to the PAC that 433 contractor freelance worker situations were reviewed in a desktop exercise. 106 were immediately identified as bogus self-employed, and a further 50 most probably were bogus self-employed too. Only 276 of the worker situations could be identified as self-employed by the Eversheds process using the criteria set out in the Eversheds process. These figures should have caused a sharp intake of breath for RTE, the Department of Social Welfare, Revenue, and the Department of Communications. More than 44% of the 433 workers in group class roles in RTE selected and examined under RTE's own very limited scoping exercise were bogus self-employment. The financial implications for RTE were terminal. That's where the Eversheds review should have ended. RTE had confirmed it was misclassifying employees by group and class. Workers would require individual examination of their employment situation, and only the scope section of the Department of Social Welfare has that legal authority. In July 2018, the PAC was fully aware that RTE was in deep trouble for decades of misclassifying employees as self-employed, which had been confirmed by RTE's own bought and paid for scoping legal advice. RTE had accepted and conceded that it was committing offences under social welfare legislation. The minister should have ordered social welfare inspectors into RTE to establish the full liability of RTE's situation, but the minister didn't. The minister didn't establish RTE's liability for one very simple reason, which was confirmed in writing to the Public Accounts Committee by Secretary General John McKeown again in July 2018. The Department of Social Protection was allowing RTE use illegal test cases because the department thought it was reasonable to use illegal test cases. It was never reasonable. It was always illegal. And because the department allowed RTE to use test cases, the department was also liable, along with RTE, for misclassifying employees as self-employed.
Regarding what might be called, quote, class decisions or, quote, test cases, these occur in limited circumstances. Where scope section has made a determination about a particular type of employment, it is reasonable that the same decision would apply to people who are in identical circumstances.
Before I come to the criteria used in the Eversheds review, I begin with the Eversheds review introduction. It is in the introduction that the Yellow Pack employees get the first inkling that all may not be as they have been told. Remember now, this was agreed by unions in RTE, and that's really sad for workers in RTE. None of this deception ever worked without the complicity of unions, and the union movement has known since 2000. The Eversheds review was never about workers' past losses.
1. Introduction. Eversheds Sutherland has been retained to conduct an independent review and report on the freelance slash contractor population in RTE. Eversheds Sutherland reviewed a list of 433 freelance slash contractors providing services across the organisation in a range of functions. The terms of reference for this project are contained at Schedule 1. As is outlined therein, the project has two stages. Part 1 is to review and report on the current freelancer population. Part 1 is outlined in full in this report. On completion of Part 1, Eversheds Sutherland will commence Part 2, which will involve working with RTE to develop protocols on when and how to engage and manage contractors in the future. RTE uses a variety of employees, contractors, and service personnel to deliver its service across a wide range of activities, including broadcast-related activities, special events, sports programs, and on-air presenters. All individuals who provide services may not be properly categorized. The purpose of this report is to analyze the method in which RTE engages and uses contractors, and to determine whether such contractors are properly categorized.
Methodology is number 2 in the Eversheds review, but before I go there, the Supreme Court has recently ruled on methodology in the Carson case. There is only one methodology, and this is it. Does the contract involve the exchange of wage or other remuneration for work? 2. If so, is the agreement one pursuant to which the worker is agreeing to provide their own services and not those of a third party to the employer? 3. If so, does the employer exercise sufficient control over the putative employee to render the agreement one that is capable of being an employment agreement? For workers, these are the questions. Are you paid to work? And who pays you? Do you do the work personally? And finally, are you told what to do, when to do it? And most importantly, particularly for RTE, could your contract just be bullshit and in reality, you're an employee doing the same job an employee could do? That a contract could just be bullshit and in reality, you are an employee doing a job an employee could do is not a new legal precedent. It has always been the case. In 1997, in the Supreme Court Denny case, Justice Keane clearly laid out the law on the way to be given to the written word in contracts. And this was reflected in the code of practice agreed by revenue, social welfare, the WRC, and the union movement in 2001 as follows.
Statements and contracts considered by the Supreme Court in the Denny case, such as, you are deemed an independent contractor. It shall be your duty to pay and discharge such taxes and charges as may be payable out of such fees to the revenue commissioners or otherwise. it is agreed that the provisions of the Unfair Dismissals Act 1997 shall not apply, etc. You will not be an employee of this company. You will be responsible for your own tax affairs. Are not contractual terms and have little or no contractual validity. While they may express an opinion of the contracting parties, they are of minimal value in coming to a conclusion as to the work status of the person engaged.
Although this is the law on employment contracts, always has been the law on employment contracts, revenue, social welfare and RTE have consistently ignored the ruling of the Supreme Court, and RTE contracts are littered with such phrases. Methodology used in the Eversheds review. The methodology used in the very first line confirms that the Eversheds review was a snapshot of contractual situations in RTE in 2018. This is hugely important. These contractual situations exist all through RTE's history, going all the way back to the 1980s and on. The full liability of RTE could never be established by looking only at 2018. What the public is not told is that the scope decisions outside of the current employment status investigation unit investigation have ruled that one worker was bogus self-employed from 2010 to 2017, and another worker was denied employee status by RTE, revenue and social welfare, despite the worker being an employee for PRSI purposes. The Eversheds review did not include a review of the tax treatment of contractors. In the most recent media committee meeting with RTE, the Director General of RTE said that there was no tax liability. That's not true. There is a tax liability, a massive tax liability, but revenue are deliberately not assessing that figure. The treatment of contractors is the key to unlocking the long-standing bogus self-employment fraud perpetrated by RTE, revenue and social welfare. In the Eversheds review, the day-to-day working of each individual contractor was not reviewed on an individual basis. Again, this is massively important. A casual glance at the RTE bogus self-employment situation by a legal firm established a 44% bogus self-employment rate among RTE contractors. Following the 1997 Denny Supreme Court case, it was the legal duty of RTE, revenue and social welfare to examine all contractual situations and apply the precedents arising from Denny. This never happened. The Eversheds review executive summary is up next. In the first paragraph, a lie and some truth. Individuals may not have been appropriately engaged as a contractor at the outset. However, over time, they may have acquired characteristics more akin to that of an employee. The lie. Many workers were engaged as bogus self-employed deliberately. They didn't, over time, acquire characteristics more akin to that of an employee. The workers were employees from the outset, deliberately mislabeled as self-employed. In the second paragraph of the Eversheds review, executive summary, the very first line is completely and utterly false. RTE is not a unique employer. RTE is an ordinary employer, same as every other employer. All the same rules and legislation apply. It was easier for managers to use bogus self-employment because revenue and social welfare were deliberately allowing RTE to use bogus self-employment contracts. However, easier was not the driving force for the massive bogus self-employment in RTE. Cost was the driving force. RTE were getting a reduced labour cost on every single bogus self-employed worker of about 30%, a massive and illegal advantage over competitors.
It is recognised that the broadcasting industry is somewhat unique. There is a requirement to keep content fresh and audiences engaged. Therefore, RTE requires the use of freelance and contractors to supplement staff members for short peak periods and to provide flexibility in order to respond to a changing audience demands. Whilst this is an accepted consideration, it is suggested that over a period of time, managers may have felt that it was easier to hire a contractor and so defaulted to that model.
In the third paragraph of the Evershed's review executive summary, where Ortiz Yellow Pack workers learn that they were misinformed, the Evershed's review was never about their past losses, only future hiring policy for RTE.
It is recommended that RTE should introduce a new policy and process in relation to the engagement of contractors across its business. Key guidelines should be developed to assist finance, HR, and hiring managers at the outset of the engagement to ensure that individuals are properly categorised. The population reviewed have been categorised in terms of high to low priority to assist RTE in prioritising the application of the new policy to the individuals reviewed.
Next in the Evershed's review is the current position. This is the snapshot in time of 2018. Headcount restraints lays bare exactly why RTE is using bogus self-employment, the need to control headcount costs. This is the false economy of bogus self-employment, and not just in RTE. It costs twice as much in the long term to hire bogus self-employed contractors as it does to hire employees. But contractors are not included in headcount costs of employed staff on the books. Imperative to reduce staff numbers creates the false economy. The work still needs to be done. But to fool the taxpayer, bogus self-employment is used instead.
Headcount restraints. It is understood, following various meetings, that the process to engage an individual as an employee is complex. The internal approval process can be challenging, driven by the need to control headcount costs.
Although what the Eversheds review refers to as on-air talent was not included in the Eversheds review of bogus self-employment, on-air talent is referred to in the current position. The Eversheds review statement that RTE needs on-air talent because of a sometimes competitive market is false. The use of bogus self-employment by RTE with the approval and assistance of revenue has created an entirely fraudulent labour marketplace. RTE is a monopoly, receiving illegal state aid for decades, allowing RTE to set the cost of on-air talent, thereby giving RTE control of the labour market for on-air talent.
On-air talent. It appears that RTE has adopted a contracting operating model for on-air talent to help it manage the high level of flexibility required to meet production and broadcasting demands. It was explained that the use of freelancers is important to the business model for a number of reasons. To provide flexibility, to manage creative and editorial renewal with ease, to provide value for money so that freelance workers are only engaged and paid for the time they are needed for a program, and to secure the best talent in a sometimes competitive market where talent may have a broad portfolio of work across the industry and will only offer their services as freelancers.
Next up in the Eversheds review is the Eversheds review legal background. This page of the Eversheds review is largely correct.
The control test, the integration test, the mutuality of obligation test, the entrepreneurial test, personal service required / freedom to subcontract.
Legal background in the Eversheds review begins to fall apart in the next paragraph. The employment status of agency workers is not more clear-cut. Only an individual examination of the worker's circumstance can establish the true factual position. Again, in paragraph 5.3, the Eversheds review concedes that RTE does use agency staff who were not reviewed. They should be. It is in section 5.4 of the Eversheds review that sections 5.3 and 5.2 are shown to be incorrect. Regardless of whether a worker in RTE is an agency or other third-party worker, if the only meaningful relationship that worker has is with RTE, then that worker is an employee. The importance of this point cannot be overlooked and was raised in the Supreme Court in Carson. Just because revenue RTE and social welfare think a worker is self-employed because the worker looks like another worker. Revenue, RTE and social welfare think is self-employed, does not make it so.
Deemed employees. Certain categories of staff will not neatly fit into any of the above categories, but may be deemed to be employees. While these employees are not direct employees of the end user, in reality, their only meaningful relationship is with that company. For instance, they may not be categorized as an independent contractor or an agency worker, so they will not fall into those categories above. However, based on their use by the end user company and their involvement with the business, in certain circumstances, they may be deemed to be employees of the end user. Any members of staff that come within this category should be treated as employees because there is a high risk that this is the reality of the situation.
Section 6 of the Eversheds Review is titled Case Law Within the Media Sec. Paragraph 1 is almost correct. Depending on the individual circumstances, it's important. It's important because paragraph 2 misconstrues circumstances to mean the unique position of RTE. But this is where it really falls apart. Quote, specific considerations can be expected to be taken into account in applying the guidelines set out above. RTE is an employer. It is not a unique employer. And all the considerations which apply to all employers apply to RTE. The case law relied upon for the Eversheds Review is listed as follows.
And re the Sunday Tribune Limited in liquidation, 1994 IR 505. Irish Press Limited v. Kelly, 1986, 5 GIS LL 170. Dower versus Radio Ireland, the High Court, 14th of the 9th, 2000. O'Hara v. Radio 2000 Limited, trading as Classic Hits, 98 FM. Employment Appeals Tribunal, UD 783/94, Dublin, 10th of February, 1995. Scott v. RTE, Workplace Relations Commission, ADG 00004395.
It is sublimely ridiculous to shoehorn the bogus self-employment of employees in RTE through the prism of these case law examples when the Supreme Court in Denny in 1997 and again in Carshan in 2023 set the standard for determining employment status. As I mentioned earlier, it was the duty of RTE Revenue and Social Welfare to review the case law they were using in light of Supreme Court decisions. They cannot all agree to disagree with the Supreme Court. That's not how employment legislation works. Section 6.6 of the Eversheds Review is titled Analysis. All of Section 6.6 is irrelevant. In fact, it's total nonsense. The only methodology, once again, does the contract involve the exchange of wage or other remuneration for work? If so, is the agreement one pursuant to which the worker is agreeing to provide their own services and not those of a third party to the employer? If so, does the employer exercise sufficient control over the putative employee to render the agreement one that is capable of being an employment agreement? Section 7 of the Eversheds Review is titled Recent Media Coverage and Developments. A number of selected UK cases in various forum are listed. The actual relevance to RTE bogus self-employment situations is negligible. This is more cherry-picking of cases to support RTE. Section 7.5 of the Eversheds Review is titled Draft Legislation on the Use of Contractors. Contrary to the opinion expressed in this piece, the government has not introduced any new legislation. What the government did do was create a joint unit specifically in order to evade prosecuting RTE under social welfare legislation and thereby conceal both social welfare and revenue liability for allowing and creating massive bogus self-employment situation in RTE. Section 8 of the Eversheds review is titled Summary of Discussions Viewpoints. This is important. This is HR, the hirers and firers, and trade unions. Headcount comes again.
Summary of Discussions Viewpoints. Meetings were held with a number of representatives from the HR teams across the business, a number of managers who regularly engage contractors, and representatives from the RTE trade union groups. Whilst preserving the confidentiality of those interviewed, it is clear that a number of themes emerged throughout the interviews. The main themes are summarised below. Headcount. As outlined above, the issue of headcount was a recurrent theme and arose in each meeting. Those interviewed felt that they had difficulties in securing headcount approval due to cost restraint constraints.
It is a truly appalling indictment of revenue, social welfare, and the trade unions that it is easier to use illegal bogus self-employment than it is to hire employees legally in RTE.
Use of top talent as contractors. Those that were met with were almost all in agreement that talent or top talent can legitimately be treated in a different manner. Some felt the use of the word talent was not accurate, as it suggested that those outside of that bracket were not as talented. For the purposes of the report, the word talent is used to generally describe on-air presenters. It was explained that many contractors within the talent group desire to be independent contractors. Some require the flexibility of contractor arrangement, as they have a number of other commitments on top of their services to RTE.
Top talent cannot legitimately be treated in a different manner. RTHR hirers and firers are wrong, and the union movement is wrong. Desire has nothing at all to do with determination of employment status. One either fits the legal criteria or one does not. Works outside of work for RTE is totally and utterly irrelevant. Freelancers. In section 8.3 of the Eversheds review, it refers to freelancers.
The need for some flexibility and a certain number of freelancers. Throughout the meetings, many agreed that although there may be a current issue with the use of contractors, there will always be a need for a once-off or short-term contractor solution. This may arise because of staff shortages due to an unexpected sick leave or a once-off program which will run for a short period. The general consensus was that it would not be desirable to move away completely from the use of contractors.
Again, this is desire. That it is easier for RTE to hire employees illegally ensures that it will always remain the most attractive option for RTE. Summary and analysis is section 9 in the Eversheds review. These are truly staggering figures. Of the 192 on-air freelancers RTE deemed to be self-employed, 36% were not. They were employees, even through the narrow prism of the Eversheds review. Of the 249 off-air freelancers RTE deemed to be self-employed, 79% were not. They were employees, even through the narrow prism of the Eversheds reviews. Alarm bells must have rung for the ministers of finance, social welfare, and media. Remember, the Eversheds review is a snapshot in time of RTE in 2018. These phenomenally high rates of bogus self-employment will be repeated in any and every year over the past 40 years in RTE. Recommendations is the last part of the Eversheds review. Despite discovering bogus self-employment at rates and a scale never seen before in any employer, despite RTE being outed in the Eversheds review as the biggest single social welfare cheat this country has ever seen, the Eversheds review is only concerned with the future hiring policy of RTE. RTE Yellow Pack employees are the past, and nobody wants to address the past. The last point is probably the most salient point in the Eversheds review. RTE should know how many staff it takes to deliver its objectives. That it doesn't is pure Mickey Mouse management. The terms of reference of the Eversheds review are contained in the last page of the Eversheds review. The summary provided to the board and the trade union group leaves a lot to be explained. Without doubt, the full report should be before the Oireachtas. That the trade union group hasn't commented or raised an alarm on RTE ending rates of bogus self-employment and the loss to members over 40 years is despicable. So what next for the 396 workers fired on foot of Eversheds by RTE? What of the RTE Yellow Pack employees who have been kept in the dark and fed utter shite by RTE unions and revenue? A handful of the 396 workers fired on foot of the Eversheds review are already in my boat. All of them are currently waiting on decisions from the scope section on their insurability of employment. Keith Walsh has received his insurability of employment. He was an employee all along for 7 years. He is the third of these decisions to come through, and there are many more to follow. Unions allowed workers to be fired on foot of the Eversheds review. This is to the eternal shame of unions.
Powerful words, Martin. Genuinely, and thanks again to Matt McGrahan for his input. But that's not the end of the story. Actually, it's barely even two steps further on from where we were when we started this conversation. And there's a lot more, how do I put this? A lot more words spoken, a lot less deeds fulfilled.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to give you a little glimpse into the future, Tony, in that just today, the same union movement has turned around and told the Yellow Pack workers who got these crap contracts in RTE and those people who were fired off the back of the Eversheds review, they told them just today that the scope section and the Eversheds review is nothing to do with the media committee and they won't let anybody who was affected speak. That's the unions just today. Just today.
No, we knew actually a little bit behind the curtain for you listeners. We knew that was coming, but we're not surprised. We're also disgusted. So there you go.
And we will be dealing with it in future podcasts. But anyway, back to this. So that was the PAC was informed of all of this in July 2018. So at the end of July 2018, the Minister for Social Welfare, the Minister for Finance, the Minister for RTE, well, it's a bit longer title than the Minister for RTE, but the Minister for RTE, all knew that RTE owed more money for bogus self-employment than RTE had to pay for it. They all knew. And they knew that the department was liable because the Department of Social Protection had admitted that this situation exists in RTE because the Department of Social Welfare was allowing RTE to break the law and label people by group and class. And that was an absolute fact at the end of July 2018. The entire RTE saga should have been ended there and then. The Joint Investigations Unit should have been sent in. The actual cost of bogus self-employment in RTE should have been established. But it didn't. Now, towards the end of 2018, actually in December 2018, Regina Doherty, as the minister, she said, "The one thing I can safely say is that we are all in agreement regarding the fact that there are people in this country who are made bogus self-employed through no fault or acquiescence on their part, and that we have a difficulty in this country with people who are bogus self-employed." Now, you really need to remember that. That's December 2018. Regina is saying, legally, and it is legally, the workers aren't liable for what the employers do, and that this country has a problem with bogus self-employment. Now, Regina said that in December 2018. You heard that again very recently, Tony, from the outgoing minister, or from the outgoing Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, is the next person. So it's, what is it? It's now 6 years on.
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken 6 years to get Leo Varadkar to admit the same thing that Regina Doherty admitted in 2018. RTE has a massive problem with bogus self-employment.
I think, look, we've a lot more ground to cover on this, but I think if you're listening to this, if you are understanding why we're trying to actually show you this, it's not, again, I have to stress this, this is to help workers. This is to help people get the entitlements that they should have had all along and get back the things that they, the rights that they should have had over decades, and then make sure that we protect that going forward. Why does that matter right now, today? You say, like, you know, why there should be some sort of statute of limitations? No, there shouldn't be, because Revenue doesn't have a statute of limitations. They can continue to pursue other people, and Revenue have their own questions to answer in relation to this, and we will come to more of that, and you've heard some of it in this podcast. But I also want to stress that we're looking at a situation now where the new government are in power, and they're saying, the new third government in one dull term, that, you know, oh, we need to support business by rolling back on rights, when there's a pause on things like, you know, sick pay, things like living wage, all of these things in supposedly the richest country in the OECD. So all of this matters. It's why you live in a rich country but continue to feel poor. And that's what.
That's true. Absolutely true. And, you know, Regina Doherty said that in December 2018. And literally, with less than a month later, the Social Welfare Appeals Office wrote to me personally. This document is in evidence in the Oireachtas at the moment. And they said, on occasion over the years, an approach of having test cases has been taken or considered by the Social Welfare Appeals Office. So that's like the tenth admission in 10 years from the Department of Social Welfare that they use test cases. It was just extremely clear. There was never any question. The question was, did they have a right to use them? Not were they using them. Just, did they have a right? And they never did.
No, and we've had several legal opinions on that, by the way. If you only have to go back over conversations with employment law specialists who we've had on this podcast over the last 6 years, solicitors, barristers, and all the likes. They don't get to just turn around and say, we're going to make this class decision. And it's, do you know what's really funny about that, Martin, in a way, is employees or people can't take class actions. And yet we're...
Actually, that's much bigger point than we're giving it credence for, Tony. This is the problem. We would, as a civil society, we'd love to be able to take class actions, mm-hmm, on environmental issues,
planning.
Oh God, there's so many places we could do so much good if we could have group or class decisions. But there's no law in Ireland to allow it. And we've had very, very clear legal opinion that if you want to have a group or class case, you know, there are a whole lot of hoops that have to be jumped first in terms of fair procedures so that everybody's represented properly. You can't just wake up one day and say, oh, we're going to have a test case. We feel like having this group class decision. You can't, and you simply can't. But by January 2019, literally, a month after Regina Doherty said, you know, there are people who were bogus self-employed through no fault of their own, she then turned around and told Philip Boucher-Hayes on RTE, I don't want to make employers the bad guys. Now, it's social welfare cheating. So either all social welfare cheats or none of them are. But RTE can't be allowed off as a social welfare cheat yet. That is exactly what's happening right now. Not only did Minister Doherty refuse to enforce the legislation on them, so is the current Minister Humphreys refusing to enforce legislation on RTE. And where that affects the workers is, it'd be very easy for them to go and get what they're owed if there was a conviction against RTE for bogus self-employment. All they have to do is rock up to the courts with their civil action. And it's an open and shut case. They don't have to prove the bogus self-employment because there's already a conviction against RTE for it. And that's why the minister is refusing to do so. Because people, it would be an open door for people to go and get what they're owed.
We will be going to the legal aspects of this very, very soon. If I was sitting in Arthur Cox, I'd be aware that you're putting you on notice. There's another Exocet missile coming your way very, very soon, Martin. Isn't that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the best place to hide things, of course, is out in the open, Tony. You know, and I know this really well. So, you know, I said they use test cases. And I said, look, they've admitted to using test cases. They've admitted for years. And in March 2019, Minister Doherty gave an interview to the Irish Times. And in it, she says, the minister is also looking at changing legislation to permit deciding officers to make determinations on the employment status of groups or classes of workers who are engaged on identical terms and conditions. At present, both employers and workers have to agree to such class actions. Now, very clearly, Regina Doherty is saying we're making class decisions, group class decisions, and they're precedental, and they're outside of the law. And this is all I've been saying for 30 years. They know what they're doing is outside of the law. That's Regina Doherty to the Irish Times, absolutely admitting that they know what they're doing and it's outside of the law. The bit that workers are involved, workers are not involved, not at any stage whatsoever. That's a lie. It's just simply a lie. Workers were never asked to be.
It's important to point out that workers, particularly if you were listening to the podcast earlier, I want to be really quick with this. People who are brought in as talent, they were never on board on this. This was just presented to them as this is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen there was an article in the Irish Examiner recently from Keenan Brennan where RTÉ are saying that the revenue commissioners verified RTÉ contracts. But the revenue commissioners have absolutely denied that and said it is completely up to RTÉ to make sure that their contracts are legal in the first place. Revenue commissioners are completely saying, no, totally on you, RTÉ, nothing to do with us. But here you have the Department of Social Welfare saying, oh, well, we allowed them to do this. And we, not only did we allow them, we participated and we facilitated in allowing them having group and class test cases, which we absolutely know are outside of the law. Now, that was the last time anybody in the Department of Social Welfare admitted that they were doing group class precedential test cases. And a meeting was held again in March 2019 under the stewardship of Minister Regina Doherty. And a decision was taken at this meeting to discontinue the use of the phrase test case and to apply the phrase sample case and to apply that phrase retrospectively to what were undeniably test cases. And that's corruption. That's out and out corruption, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, to misrepresent what happened in the past deliberately, Tony.
I agree.
Utterly deliberately. Now, regardless of whether Regina Doherty wanted them called test cases or sample cases, the fact remains that whether they are sample or test, they're still group and class decisions and they're still illegal. But this is where the department has been hanging its hat since 2019. And the current minister, I think she's on record over a dozen times saying, we don't use test cases, we use sample cases. But that's only because the department made a decision in March 2019 to say, stop using the phrase test cases, let's fool everybody and call them sample cases. And that's really where we're bringing this up to in this podcast. Only there's more to come, a lot more to come. But I wanted to explain to people where the corruption was. And that's exactly where it was. It was a meeting in the Department of Social Welfare under the stewardship of Regina Doherty, where they made a decision to lie about the use of test cases. And it's all there on paper in evidence.
And if you don't believe me, Regina, sue me. Go for it.
Oh, 100%.
Come for us.
100%. It's the absolute truth. It's there in writing.
Talk to you all soon, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Reynolds.